Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vons, the nacho cheese flavor, and Vons, the Cool Ranch flavor, all of us using the he/him pronouns. And today, Nacho is trying to escape another nightmare, and Cool Ranch has escaped that nightmare, more or less.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse doesn't regret what she did, but she does feel a little bit bad for leaving a man behind.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, currently melded with Sidroa. We are known as Weldroa, and we use any pronouns you want to throw at us. My pronouns are they, them, and Wealthy is very confused upon waking up.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot slash college student, non-returning, I guess. And we all use he, him pronouns. And, you know, on retrospect, Steamboat is just going to cut the moose loose and vamoose.
I love it.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, Wit's intros are always fantastic. Reminds me that I forgot to mention about the nature of my character, like the base nature of my characters. They're just hanging out. Nobody knows what nacho cheese flavor or Cool Ranch flavor means, as if this is anybody's first time listening.
If this is your first time listening, hi, who are you? Tell us everything about you. And we're fascinated why you started with episode whatever in the 200s.
I know someone who started with the latest episode, like last week or the week before. And I was just like,
wow.
That is a choice you have made.
Hello, I appreciate it.
They don't know. It's just not that kind of podcast. No.
Yeah.
Just like, hey.
Perhaps they do. Perhaps they are not familiar with the nature of an actual play podcast.
I think they were not.
Okay.
I think we were the first one they tried. And they were just like, I think they basically were saying they don't necessarily, maybe don't have it in them to do, you know, hour and a half long episodes or something. We'll find out if they try more.
Okay.
There are certainly people out there for whom the term podcast just means something different. Oh, or those for whom the word podcast is just another tab on their Spotify or whatever that they're just not gonna with.
Sure.
If you know what a podcast is, first off, welcome. You're clearly our core audience. Second, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do, gives you a use for that Spotify tab, and you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Now it's time for Erin's recap.
Yes, hello. I'm here to tell you about the amazing battle that we fought and all of the intense things that happened. We were all trying to figure out what was going on with Vons' dreams, where he has some sort of interaction with real places on the ground. In this battle, we were in the Ark's hole. That is the hole that the Ark's came out of. Everyone...
It means nothing else.
Everyone was invisible at the start of the episode. But Vons, who was in the dream realm, and Grix, who was detecting his thoughts, could see us all. And also a shadow creature that none of the rest of us could see. But everyone could see the 16-foot-tall person-shaped amalgamation of birds. The bird person was sort of puppeted by the shadow corrupted creature who only Vons could see in the shadow realm. And that bird attacked Weldroa and Cool Ranch Vons, and Weldroa went down. Jesse yelled to Jenkins to get everyone out and yelled to Vons that he needed to build a fire. And then Jenkins did take Weldroa and Cool Ranch Vons back to the Jenkies base, and Jesse ran for the birds and did a breaky stick in the middle of them so that they would go back to the bright room in the Jenkins base, at which point Jenkins activated the bright room and all of those birds died. Steamboat Willie was flying up above and did attack the birds, and it worked. It was great. Vons was trying to build a fire. He successfully built a fire that we believe should have been visible, but Steamboat Willie could not see the bird, Steamboat Willie could not see the fire, which makes us think that physical actions that happen in the dream realm are not visible in the physical realm. A moose, a shadow corrupted moose, came out of the woods near where Dream Vons was trying to build his fire. Dream Vons skedaddled. Steamboat Willie got into a fight with the moose, and probably this episode will have some sort of title like
"A Moose Bit My Sister Once."
Squirrel versus moose, or moose and squirrel, uh-huh, or something like that. Can workshop it. As for the dream experiments, we know that Vons' fire was not visible to the physical realm. We know that when Grix gave Vons a potion of invisibility while he was asleep in his physical body disappeared, and his dream body did not disappear, so that's interesting information. And when Grix used humanoid finding on Vons, he found that Vons was in his bed directly in front of him. So humanoid finding doesn't work on Vons' spirit in the dream realm. I think that's all of the things that we learned. It was a lot of things that happened in the episode, but they were all very important. And the most important thing is that Steamboat Willie is the only person on the battlefield, and there is a corrupted moose.
Yes.
It was an episode full of sloppy experiments.
It was good experiments, though.
Yeah.
We learned a lot of things.
they were effective, I feel, but oof. Try doing any experiment around a rampaging moose.
Yeah, they tend to really knock your instruments off balance. It's the whole thing.
A lot of frustrated Alaskan scientists out there, I'm sure.
Yes. All right. So, everybody, roll initiative. And I do mean everybody, in case some of you decide to head on back to help out Steamboat.
7.
8.
Wrong guy. Fuck. 2 for Steamboat, 7 for Grix.
I've got a 2 for Nacho and a 6 for Cool Rant.
And what, you said it was a 6 for Grix? Or a 7 for
Grix? 7 for Grix. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for my next trick, I'll roll initiative for the other people.
I like to think that Ian just has a padded set of sheets for all of our initiative rolls. They just, like, tear off.
Ah.
That would be far smarter than what I have, which is a scrawled-on notebook page that I occasionally panically erase and occasionally just cross out a column worth of people and start over.
You should at least steal, like, the guest check padded sheet or padded thing from behind some restaurant desk sometime, but they don't. They only use those for scrap paper and passing phone numbers anyway.
That's right. All right. So the moose goes first. Has been damaged. I believe Steamboat went and did a dive to catch up to it and slice at it. I am going to give it an attribute check to try to basically catch you before you're past and up again. You manage to escape its wrath. So you pull into the air and feel the swoosh of antlers, you know, behind you. But okay. You made it. All right. Jesse.
Yes, hello.
You're in a large rectangular room. It's very bright.
Jesse's gonna be like, can we go back? Are we gonna go back? I'm ready. Does anyone need potions?
Well, if I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna need another potion because I only got 2 hit points.
Okay, great. I give Wealthy, I administer to Wealthy a cure serious wounds.
Yay! Thank All you. Right.
Hey, Vance, roll the healing amount on a cure serious wounds.
That's 3d8.
Oh, nice. Whoa. Hold on. My notes just spawned right in front of my dice roller thing, and that got complicated. Here we go.
Yeah, Poppin's always confusing in games.
Oh, okay, not the best. It looks like you get 8 points out of this.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better than nothing.
That's the spirit.
Okay, so I get 10 hit points now.
All right. Well, Draw, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How many pounds of people can you teleport?
Oh, sugar. Okay, give me a second. I gotta use my mouse. No more than 50 pounds per caster level.
And your current caster level is 9.
Yes.
Okay, so that is 450 pounds. Wildroa weighs a decent amount these days. Jesse, I put Wildroa and Jesse with their gear probably at around 200-ish.
Together?
200 each.
Yes, 400 that pounds. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, so 400 pounds. And then put Jenkins at 150, and you're already over the limit. Cool Ranch is lighter. Probably put him at like 150 with all his gear. So I guess the question is, who do you want to take with you? Because you can take as many people there as you want, because Jenkins can cast Teleportation Circle to get you all there. But to get back, you only have clearance for, and you need to account for Steamboat. So you probably have clearance for like 2 people going through.
How much does Steamboat weigh?
Well, he's a little guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking 25, 30 pounds.
I mean, he's also got a glider on his back and a bunch of gear, so let's call it 50.
This is why we're all so small for moments like this.
Yes. It was all planned from the very beginning.
I think that that I ought to go. I do have a magic missile, although I'm not entirely certain how it works over there. So, and I do have teleport.
You're the one physical, who and you're fine. The dreamness means nothing to what you're doing.
Okay.
I don't know. I like the idea that magic missile works differently in like France than it does in the U.S. Well, it's metric, so it fucks everything up. All right, so you have Wildroa, that's 200. You have Steamboat, that's 50. So you have space for, really, Jenkins, Cool Ranch, Vaughn's, or Jesse.
Well, doesn't Jenkins have to go so that he can get people
Jenkins
back?
Jenkins is going
to
cast Teleport Circle on this side, and then Wildroa is going to be casting Teleport to pull people back.
Oh. Why can't we do it the other way around?
Then Jenkins is your last slot. So, because you'd have to use Teleport to get there. So you still have the weight problem. The question is just which end do you have it on?
I mean, if there's a weight limit going there and there's no weight limit coming back, that would be better because then we could take more people there and bring an extra person back. You know, and am I making sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So put Jenkins at 150, we'll draw at 200. You have 100 pounds left. You can probably fit a Cool Ranch Vaughn's in that amount.
But not Jesse.
Not Jesse. And honestly, I might have quoted a higher number for Cool Ranch, but we'd be 100 off instead of like 50 off. So Cool Ranch Vaughn's can just take off all his gear.
Nope.
Although he is visible now, because he was just playing defense, so I don't think he ever actually attacked.
Yep.
So no one would know.
It would at least be in a safe place. But why would you bring me if I can't, like, do my cool shit?
You still bring a knife or a katana.
That worked out so well for the other Vaughns.
You could also Wildroa take off their armor, and that would drop them down significantly.
Maybe have Wildroa take off their armor.
All right,
but then they're goo. Just
yes,
goo with a shape.
Yeah, I'll take off the armor.
Okay, so now you have 150 pounds left. So that definitely fits Cool Ranch Vaughns with gear.
Well, let's see. If Wildroa is willing to take off armor, I should see about. Let's see, what can I you drop?
I'm a lot harder to kill.
Not take armor off.
You would not free up enough space to teleport Jesse as well.
Okay.
Sorry, Jesse.
That's okay.
All right. So, Wealthy, do you teleport this pre-designated group of people?
Sure.
All right. Bam. And Jesse, am I correct in assuming you would start heading in to alert the other Jinkies? And or anyone else who can help of the current issue?
Yes, I would run knowing that I'm not going back, I would run in and be like, well, you know, whenever I'm allowed to leave the bright room, I would run in and start yelling. We sent some people back, but Steamboat Willie's still there, and we need help. We need more help.
All right. So you run in and start yelling that. I'll draw poofs away. Grix.
Yeah.
You're currently seeing a first-person view of Avon's running away.
Yeah, I really don't think there's anything I can do. Yeah. I'm torn between... He's not in immediate danger, right?
Correct. As far as you can tell, nothing is actively pursuing him.
All right. Do I have an idea that they went back to the janky lab?
Yeah. I'm going to say around this time you hear Jesse starting to yell outside that Steamboat Willie's still there.
Okay. In that case, I may ditch Sleepy Vaughn's and go to the teleportation thing to get down to the Jenkins lab.
All right.
I know that'll take
Wouldn't we have just done all of that everybody was at the Jenkins lab.
I don't understand.
You had Vaughn's go to sleep at the Jenkins lab, so you don't have to teleport out. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought that Vaughn's was asleep up on the arcs.
No, the elves just grabbed the bunk, so you don't have to teleport. You can just head out the door.
Yeah, then I head out the door to go say hi to them.
All right. Jenkins, along with Mulzroa and Cool Ranch, appears on the battlefield back at the crater where the arcs came from.
Pop!
And immediately goes, the small tree to our left is where I'm casting the teleport circle, and gets to work casting teleportation circle.
I'm going to look around and try and see where Steamboat might be.
You see Steamboat.
There he
flying
is.
In the sky.
Flying? Well, okay.
That's normal for him.
Yes, I know. Then I'm going to look for the moose.
You didn't know about the moose.
I didn't?
Okay, never mind. It's approximately a yard behind Steamboat, at least, you know, until he pulls up, and then you can see that he got clear.
Okay. There's a monster. There's a shadow-corrupted monster behind him. Jesus, it's big. How do we help Steamboat without... We need to... Oh, I'm going to cast Message.
It is not your turn.
No, fuck. Okay.
Cool Ranch.
Uh-huh.
How do you help Steamboat?
He's all the way up there. I'm all the way down here. There's a moose down here. Is Cool Ranch aware of the moose?
Like, yes.
Has eyes on
it? The giant shadowy megafauna is very obvious.
Okay. And we did some damage to the moose last session, right?
Not that you would know about it, because Steamboat was the one who did it, but yes.
Oh, right. Well, I don't want him there. So then as far as Cool Ranch is aware, this moose is just up here. And
yeah.
Super fun. All right. Well, I guess his first move is going to be to get invisible. He's still invisible,
You're already
right?
invisible. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then... He's first going to ascertain whether or not the moose can see him. Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
It is hard to judge what it can see in this moment, and you cannot see its spotter, such as it is. But the moose isn't facing directly towards you. The moose probably cannot see you right now.
Oh, good.
Whether it's aware of you is an open question, but to the best of your knowledge, it cannot see you.
Hmm. Well, then, the big scary moose... Sorry, threw my notes at my awesome inventory here. The thing that is sure to take down a moose in one shot.
Sandwich gun.
Wrong Vaughns.
Wrong Vaughns, yes. God.
Yeah.
This one has Moose Slayer, the legendary crossbow.
Well,
Jesse's going to want to look at that later.
Because he hates moose.
Let's see. I do have a special weapon that's designed to, like, slip between ribs to attack vital spots. I don't know if it works on giant moose.
Only one way to find out.
I've got sacrificial blade on here, and the notes say the blade was made for making sacrifice, not for being sacrificed.
good notes.
Yeah, only I would think that would be important for later.
I mean, I think you might have found it in the middle of a puzzle, so...
Oh, yeah. So it might be a pretty useless-ass blade, especially on moose.
I believe this is the one that when you play with it, like light warps around it.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, fun. So oh, it's that something. One. Good.
That would be my guess. I mean, I believe Cool Ranch is the one who ended up with that one, so it definitely has it, and I could see you writing it down a sacrificial blade.
Then, nope. We've got a lot of dodgy stuff and keeping me out of Doom stuff. But here we are, running into Doom anyway. And then there's his katana with its bonuses. But I've got the chance to potentially get a successful sneaker back attack on a moose.
Yes.
So, oh, except it only does an additional 1d6.
Not anymore. And you are a 9th level. Well, you're past 9th level. It inflicts quadruple damage for back attacks. Sneak attacks have a much weaker bonus.
Wow. I should probably note that on here. All right. Otherwise, it does 1d4 plus 1 damage. Is that still accurate?
This is the sacrificial one?
No, this is the Heartstopper.
Okay.
Is that not a heftier guy?
Yeah, my goal here, I believe this Heartstopper thing was designed for kind of this situation, but with more humanoid things.
Yeah, you're correct. I need to go and find, because that sounds like something I might have given you as part of the Let's All Buy Weird Items montage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means I should probably find my notes for that specific item.
Yeah, it was a whole expansion pack.
Yeah. So you said you had it as plus 1d6 as well?
I had it as an additional 1d6 with successful sneak or back attack, which...
Okay,
maybe so that's probably... in addition to existing sneak attack, or maybe
I think it would be 1d4 plus 1 plus 1d6, and then I would just multiply all of it.
Ah.
Give me one more second to see if I can find the stuff, but if not, we'll go with that. Solvent flavor of the players when you are digging stuff out, and it's taking too long. Alright, I can't find it immediately, and I don't want this to go on any longer, so... Let's just say it's 1d4 plus 1 plus 1d6, and then your standard sneak attack or your standard back attack multiplier will apply to that.
Okay. Well, that should be fun. So 1d4 plus 1, and how do I roll for sneak or back attack? Or
let's see. You got a
bonus. Do I just do it?
You do roll an attack.
Uh-huh.
A moose is hard to miss, but you do need to place that weapon correctly. All right. Back attack. You need to make either a successful move silently check or a successful hide check. You are invisible. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that auto succeeds a hide check.
Okay.
It's just one or the other, and you are coming at it from kind of behind. So, yeah, I think you're fine. All right. Roll an attack. It's a plus 4 bonus to hit.
So this is a d20, and on the d20 I get a 10. Not the best. And then I add... the plus 4 bonus for my base to hit level thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 14.
It's a melee weapon, so it does use your strength.
Oh, it uses my strength, which
usually
does not give it a bonus. Okay. Right. So I just rolled a 10 on a d20. That was my hit chance on the giant moose. My attack roll. And I add the plus 4 to it. You say it's a strength-based.
Mm-hmm.
He has a negative 1 strength modifier, so that would subtract 1 from it, make it 13. Do I add my level?
Nope, but you do add the plus 4 circumstantial you get for the... Because you said your base hit's plus 4.
Yeah, so that
and
would
put it...
And
you get a plus 4 bonus on top of everything else for the for it being a back attack.
Yeah, so that would... Wait, an additional plus 4?
Yes.
Okay.
The stacks on top of your normal hit stuff.
That puts it at 17.
You hit a moose.
I hit a moose.
With a very special weapon. Okay.
It's very pointy.
So you'd be normally doing 1d4 plus 1 plus a d6. We're going to multiply all of that by 4. So you're going to roll 4d4s, 4d6s, and add 4 to it.
Oh, so this isn't like multiplying the result. This is multiplying error.
I mean, you can also multiply the result. I tend to love a giant pile of dice, but if you just want to do... 1d4 plus 1 plus 1d6 and multiply that by 4. That is also valid.
1d4 plus 1, so I add 1 to each d4?
Yeah.
There go all the dice. All right, so that would be... So it comes out with 12, and then I'm effectively adding 4, so that's 16. And...
Now roll your
4d6. 4d6. 17. So 16 plus 17. Carry the 1.
33.
That's 33. Double checking my math these days. That is 33, right?
Yes. All right.
It's quite a bit, but I'm not sure that's enough to bring down a moose.
Hey, man, that's not nothing. And you just attacked a moose, so, like, maybe...
Yeah.
Like a... Maybe be excited that you attacked a moose, and don't be down on yourself for not attacking a moose more.
Well, the main thing I'm worried about is, did I just piss it off?
Well, I mean, it's a moose.
they're ornery.
He was born pissed.
They're ornery at best. Yeah. I just think you should be more excited and less upset.
Oh, I'm just wondering how fast I need to get out of the way.
Fast.
All right. Well, cool.
Fast.
You go to attack this moose. You kind of leap up onto its back to get a good angle, and you slide that knife right between its ribs into what feels like something. I don't think you have any firsthand experience what it happens when you pierce a major organ, so...
Oh, God.
I doubt you would know exactly what you're feeling for, but the moose, despite being corrupted, does stumble as you, like, leap back off its back. So... You did some really major damage. It's not down, but you hit what you were looking for, and you hit it hard.
Yay!
All right. Steamboat Willie. Oh, you're visible now as well.
yeah, there's that too, yeah.
Steamboat, below.
And he's on the back of a moose?
I think he jumped up there to hit the stab at a good spot, but I figured he would jump back off afterwards.
I mean...
It was mostly flavor. Do you want to be on the back of a moose?
I don't think I want to be on the back of him. Of course, I don't think it's all that much more dangerous than being in front of the moose. So behind the moose is a good place to be. It'll at least have to turn around.
Okay. You roll off to the side of the moose and then take a 5-foot step back or whatever. So you're technically behind it. Congratulations.
Very anime jump, kick, land somewhere entirely different. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is very flourishy.
Yes. We're all just lucky there was no handed cartwheels involved in that maneuver. All right. Steamboat.
Well, I guess I'm not vamoosing now because people are fighting the moose.
Yeah, below you, you see a moose, a cool ranch Vaughn's, and, well, that's pretty much it.
Okay. I don't want to get too close to the moose. I'll huck my spear at the moose.
All right.
Slick spear.
Roll an attack roll.
Yeah, pretty good. 16 on the die, so 20.
You hit.
7. Sweet. A whopping 4. 4 points of damage.
Steamboat Willie, what does it look like when you finish off this moose?
Oh. I don't think I've killed anything with my slick spear before. I think, you know hagfish?
Oh, God.
Yes.
And like all the... How they're just sort of like a black blob and then mucus everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's important mucus to them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I won't go into much more detail than that based on Kelly's whimpering, but it's a hagfish situation as my slick spear slickens.
Comes out coated in moose blood.
Sorry?
Comes out coated in moose blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You throw a spear. You hit it. Trying to think of where you could throw a spear through a moose. Not many places. Yeah, goes through its neck. Cool Vaughn's. You see a spear explode through this thing's neck and then go flying back into the air. You and your college buddy have come a long way from camping in the woods.
Aww.
You've mastered the woods.
Oh my God. You guys just single, like, together, you killed a moose.
An evil moose.
An evil moose.
An ontologically evil moose.
An ontologically evil moose. The worst kind of moose.
Yes. As we all know. Alright. So, you're not in combat for the moment. Steamboat and Jesse both make wisdom checks. And Cool Ranch, too. Why not?
Jesse's not there.
That's right. Well, Droa, too.
Well, Droa is there, yes. Well,
Droa, use your speaker vibration body to try to detect things happening.
22 for Steamboat.
And this is intelligence or wisdom?
Wisdom.
Okay, then I'm 24. Because I get nothing for wisdom.
I believe I got a 28.
Those are all some banger ass rolls, especially for this party, for wisdom. All right. You all detect Vaughn's through listening, Steamboat through some visuals, and also listening will draw through listening that there's a bunch of motion in the woods coming from the direction that horn was in, seemingly coming your way.
God.
It's probably not a good idea to hang around.
Probably not.
You know, also, the shame is other Vaughns would think to loot this moose. I don't think this Vaughn's would.
Yeah, that's anything the from shame. A corrupted creature that's the real bad, shame.
Yes.
Wait, in the past when we killed something corrupted, didn't it just dissolve?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to take things from corrupted creatures.
Well, that's just arc superstition. But they dissolve. Yeah, it doesn't puff into like ashy smoke, right?
It takes a little bit of time, but yeah.
Okay. That superstition does not stop Vaughns from trying most of the time.
Yeah, we've established that.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And he's disappointed every time.
They just have a warning tally going. All right. So you hear Jenkins, well, not yell out, but say loudly enough that at least most of you can hear him. Are we ready to go?
I am. Steamboat needs to come down here. I'm gonna message him.
Well, I know. I'm well aware. You can just yell too. Yeah, I'll just turn.
I am invisible. I'm still invisible. I haven't done anything yet.
But you can yell, and that will not make you not be invisible.
Okay.
I can cast light and signal him down.
Just don't fusro-da me.
Yes. Yeah, please don't fusro-da him.
Physics engine is not designed to handle it.
Okay.
Then you'll become visible.
Kelly, right. Do you even know what that means?
No, I do not.
It's from Skyrim. You have these shouts.
Okay.
And fusro-da is essentially the one that like is like a force blast.
It's like the first one you learn. It's a force blast. You can like blast people off a mountain. You can kill major characters who you need to complete the entire game by accidentally blowing them off a mountain. It's great.
Yeah, and then it auto-saves and you're just fucked. You just have to start over because you fusro-da'd him.
That's what constantly
is. Soft-locked. Yeah.
Okay, I won't fusro-da him. I'm just gonna shout, hey, we're down here. Come down so we can teleport. We came back for you, so come down here.
I'm coming down. Mm-hmm.
You don't fly away.
Bye.
Sunset. All right.
Off to Harper's Fleet, whatever's left of it.
Something space cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You go. You land. All of you can go through the teleportation circle unless you have a reason not to. Welcome back to the Jinkies Chamber.
Yay!
After a moment, it gets really fucking bright in here. Uh-huh. And then it calms down, and you're all back. OG Vaughns.
Uh-huh.
You were running away into the woods.
Uh-huh.
What's your plan, buddy?
He's thinking maybe he can wake up and get out of this. He did his job, and now he feels naked and afraid in the woods.
But you're wearing a leather cloak.
A little less naked than normal, I suppose.
All right.
The woods is not really a safe place on the ground either.
How do you try to get yourself to wake up?
No, click heals three times. No. Pinching himself, perhaps? He tries pinching himself.
Maybe I'll roll an 100 on this die. I do not. It does not wake you up.
What else might happen? Let's see. What else might work? He's not going to try falling.
Very fair.
Guys, how do we wake up when sleeping? If the pinching didn't work, maybe he'll try holding his breath.
I mean, you got to kill yourself, right? Everyone wakes up and they kill themselves in a dream, or if they die. Die in a dream.
I've never gotten even close to the point where I could
I've not
die
either.
In a
I've not
dream.
Either, but that's what I hear.
Yeah, but how much of a dream is it? We're still not entirely
that's a great question.
Sure how dream.
That's a great. You've woken up like soaking wet from it, so
yeah, and with sand in my pockets or on my feet,
right?
Like the naked Indian in Wayne's World 2.
So Jesse, can I just say like Jesse would have also been like yelling, you know,
you
for help and stuff, and Grix would have come out, right?
Yep, so no one's in there to give Vaughns the kick.
Well, we can go back in there. We can go back.
It does take some time.
I guess, like, my thought is, if Jesse saw Grix, she'd be like, is Vaughn still dreaming?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Should we try and wake him up? Because, like, we're all, like, everybody,
yeah,
like,
finished.
Left and shit. Okay. Jesse yeah, doesn't let's know that let's everybody... Jesse doesn't know that everybody teleported back yet at this point, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, once Grix knows everything's done, I'll just go back in.
Okay. In the meantime, though, OG Vons, were you going to try to hold your breath?
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't... Make a constitution check.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing that's supposed to wake you, right, is the con check while holding your breath. Okay, 14 plus his level puts, let's see, con. Is con his other prime? How the heck do I keep losing?
No, yours are dex and intelligence.
Dex and it. Yeah, that's right. So his con, okay, yeah, his con is neutral. No, his con is still plus one. It's just not a prime. Okay. Yeah, his con is plus one, so that's, let's start putting it 15 and 16, 26.
All right. You go, you hold your breath, you start losing consciousness in your dream, which I'm sure is a fascinating experience. And Vons, you feel some little tugs on your body, roughly where some of the stuff you have found is located. You kind of have your hands on it. It's the fancy stick and the knife.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to try to keep holding on to them as you lose consciousness?
He doesn't want to lose consciousness, or is he waking up? He can't tell the difference.
You're losing consciousness in the dream because you're holding your breath. So,
Yeah, he's gonna hold on to him, and maybe he's gonna stop holding his breath if he feels like his shit's being taken. This is Vons we're talking about.
Well, you can still have your eyes open while you're holding your breath.
What's that?
You can still have your eyes open while you're holding your breath.
Oh.
You don't see anyone around you taking your stuff or whatever that's worth in this decision-making process.
Well, yeah, okay, so he's going to try to hold on to them.
All right. Make...
You're wondering if it's a strength check or a...
I'm wondering if it's intelligence or wisdom.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You can do intelligence or wisdom, but the challenge rating of the intelligence check is higher.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well... I guess I'll keep this die roll I just did at, that was 13. When I heard the word make, I just rolled a d20.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's, I guess that'd be a, the modifier is just plus zero. So adding 11 to 14 would put it at 24.
11 to 14 is 25.
Sorry, 13.
Okay.
Okay. So you got a 25.
I was halfway doing the math while I was talking. That was bad move. Yeah.
All right. And then roll one more. You're rolling individually.
Okay. 15 on that die for wisdom again would put it at 26.
Oh, I assumed you're rolling intelligence. I'll let you know that intelligence is the better bet for you. The difference isn't quite enough to make up the prime attribute.
Well, in that case, if we're rolling against intelligence, the previous one would have been 25. And then this one would be 27.
Okay. You go. You attempt to hold on to, I'm going to say the order they were in was the breaky stick and the knife.
You don't know that we don't know that it's a breaky stick. It's just XYZY stick.
I misspoke. It is just a fancy stick. Further inspection may reveal more.
Printed on it.
I will also let you know that it is not a breaky stick, at least not one of any make you've ever seen. Granted, all of yours have been made by one group of people, so... But Savant, you wake up in your bed.
Ooh, okay.
You have a very fancy knife with you.
Ooh.
In excellent
condition.
I'll move
it to his actual inventory. Fancy knife.
Fancy knife with like emerald on pommel or something like that. You might find other fancy knives in the future.
So when you say fancy knife, would it check out as being like an effective knife? Like standard knifey stats?
Yes, it's an effective knife. It has a small serrated section towards the base. And we'd probably rate it as the same kind of rating we gave some of the other stuff, where it's like 1d4 plus 1, which is about the maximum you get for knife-based objects. Because d6s are for short swords only. So yeah, you have a fancy knife. You have no fancy stick. Jesse and Grix, you come in to wake Vaughn's up, and he's groggy but awake, and he's holding a knife.
Oh, hey, whoa, man, what, you don't need to fight us.
New knife, fancy knife. It neat.
You brought that back?
Uh-huh. I don't know how. Apparently holding your breath does it.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, so if you want to, like, dream yourself somewhere, no one will see you, apparently, and then you go into some place, and then you steal things, and then you hold your breath.
Oh, okay.
Or find them in a chest. This was from a chest.
Did you see the other guys when they went back?
Ian, a little help.
I think you were already running by that point. You wouldn't have observed them. Mm.
Do you tell me that?
I wasn't running away or anything, but I didn't notice them. You know, I was just being normal.
Okay. Sure, man. Okay, well, we're gonna, I think, try and go back if they don't come back, like, right away. Do you want to come with, or nah?
I mean,
There's no wrong answer. Like, you did just wake up.
I'm sleepy, but, you know, wait. Why are you going down there?
Well, because, like, we had to leave Steamboat Willie, and then, you know, like, he's just a little guy, and, you know, we don't want him to die.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah.
I mean, like, they might come back right away. I don't know.
Sorry, I feel weirdly sleepy right now.
Well, I mean, you didn't really sleep, so, yeah, that's fair, man.
All right.
It makes sense that you'd be real tired.
Just let me get my pants on.
As Vaughn's just stepping
you
into his
pants. You haven't worn pants the whole time I've known you.
That's a fair point. This should
There's
be quick,
some though. Back and forth on this debate. Although maybe he's only worn pants in his dreams.
Do foxes dream of pants? I don't know.
It's like the opposite of, you know, ending up somewhere public naked in a dream. Foxes get more clothed.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit, I'm late for my test. And what are all these clothes doing on me?
Yes, exactly.
They're all going to laugh at me for appearing in a suit.
That sounds correct. Yeah.
Oh, I want to see Vaughn's in a suit now. I think it'd be cute. As you all are having.
Not if he's embarrassed about it.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah, something tells me he doesn't wear any suit particularly well.
It is somehow always the wrong size. He gets a tailor. It's still the wrong size.
Well, it's hard to work around the tail.
I mean, like, a lot of people in the arcs have tails, though. So, true. Like, you'd think that the tailors would have figured out how to do that.
There's no way it stays clean through lunch.
Puts a dash between
lunch.
The L and the O.
Mm-hmm. Tail or.
Yes.
That's where we get that name from.
Exactly.
Now it
yeah,
makes
the
sense.
Off-the-rack clothes fit people without tailors. But if you yep. need it for a tail, got to go to a tailor. Mm-hmm. We figured it out.
Etymology.
Mm-hmm. Educational podcast. All right. As you guys are waiting for Vaughn to put on his hypothetical pants and make him realize he doesn't usually wear them, everyone else comes in.
Oh, hey, you're back. Yay. We don't have to go. You don't have to put your pants on if you don't want to, I guess.
Yeah, I can't find them anyway. It's like not a, I can't find a single pair of pants around here. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, did you pack pants when we were coming down? I feel like you're not the type to overpack on pants. You're the type to overpack on potions and ingredients and shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, am I gonna need this sun hat? No. Am I gonna need, like, 5 jars of beetle carapaces? Yeah.
Or at least the jars to collect the carapi in.
Yeah, man. Okay.
That is almost certainly not the plural of carapace.
Don't care. Okay, so, like, what did you guys figure out about, like, what the dreams are like? I mean, all I was doing was running around and trying to, you know, fight birds. So
it seemed an awful lot like real life, except, yeah, it seemed an awful lot like real life to me.
Yeah, it's so mixed.
So wealthy, we were physically there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the time. We were physically there.
So it should have seemed
It was real life for us.
I understand that.
You had no experience that was not full on actual real life.
Okay, fine.
And unlike Vons and Grix, you did not experience the dream. So it would be hard for you to make that call.
I came from unconscious to 2 hit points to 10 hit points.
True.
I'm a little confused.
Your bell's rung. That's
okay, fine. Sure. Fair enough. I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page as character players, you know.
I'm just a little confused. Don't worry about me.
Sure, totally.
Well, they just hallucinated an entire holiday episode. So, disoriented.
Sure.
This is early.
Is that the Juneteenth episode?
Yeah, she's trying to figure out what Juneteenth is supposed to be about.
I don't want to have a Juneteenth episode because we're 5 white people.
I'm going to say, behold the lane that we are staying in. There's no Juneteenth episode.
I got the game for it.
You've got a good name
I believe
for it.
You.
Good game for it.
I believe you.
Beecher's Bibles, based on the Mothership game that we played.
Okay.
But your folks in Kansas in 1859-58 during the Bleeding Kansas. Anyway, kill slavers with broadswords.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah.
That sounds fun.
And arm people with crates of rifles that are disguised as Bibles.
Hell yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah.
Is there any John
Killer
Brown?
Mike did give us that advice.
It's John Brown's already dead.
Oh.
But it's the same people. Same abolitionist groups. It's actually it's based on the brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
Reverend John Beecher. He imported crates of Bibles to Kansas, or crates of rifles to Kansas, disguised as crates of Bibles. He was a preacher, and he was arming slaves and anti-slavers.
Sweet.
That seems like the way to do it. Yeah.
Someone should make a game based on that Tumblr post of, I want to go back in time and give John Brown power armor.
I think there's one on itch.
Is there? Awesome.
I was going to say, if no one's made it, you have 20 minutes and 2400XX or whatever that system is called, go.
Yeah.
All right. So you're all back. You have information to share with each other.
Yeah, I didn't seem... It seems mixed, right? Because, like, Vons was there with me the whole time.
Yeah, and, I'm like, pretty sure you guys did it wrong.
But, like, at the same time, certain things that I did to him didn't transfer to his consciousness on the ground.
But
his consciousness is also definitely sometimes interacting with stuff, like the...
What'd you do to me? I was sleeping.
Yeah, you were there. I tried to make you invisible. It didn't work.
It worked for your body. And actually...
Oh, no.
Is he technically still invisible?
I would prefer to hand wave it, but if you want to be, yes.
No. That just creates all kind of retcon weirdness. He'd wake up thinking he's a ghost.
You woke with a start and it jarred your invisibility off for some reason.
Maybe he stabbed his pillow with the knife and that.
Your knife did come with the sheath. You can still stab the pillow with it. It was just less fatal.
Yeah.
It was still an attack and that jarred him out of the invisibility, maybe.
The pillow took stun damage.
Yeah.
You can will yourself to visibility with the potions, right?
Also that.
Yes.
Yeah. Then he probably did that while waking.
Yeah, just thrashing out for reality, and I think he would dismiss any magical effects as part of that.
Great.
So yes.
Hand waved. Noise.
We're back.
We're not pedantic.
We're RPG players.
We're RPG players.
If you'd like to write to us and tell us we're pedantic, please do so.
Letters at primaryattribute.com or on the website. Send us a rat.
We won't accept anything shorter than 10,000 words.
Also, apologies to Mark. I found two of your notes months later. Uh-oh. And they don't have enough context for me to read them out at the start of the episode, I don't think so.
You can tell when they were, and maybe we can figure out which episode they were from.
Yeah. One of them stands alone, and the other one is definitely need to figure out exactly when it was. So we'll do them both at once later. Anyway, so now that you all turn towards the camera to get people to write.
Okay, so like you're not physical at all. So because like Steamboat Willie couldn't see or fire, so
I don't know what to tell you, man.
And Grix didn't. I mean, like, I guess it's not going to be useful for us to, like, have you go into the dream state to, like, help with the landing the arcs is, I guess, the main thing. Because that was the whole, that was, like, a big part of why we were trying to figure out if Grix could do humanoid finding on you and all of that.
Yeah, the dream place is just full of terror.
None of that worked at all.
It's a horrible place.
But you saw... But somehow one of the Shadow Corrupted, like, is like, there with you, because we couldn't see that the Shadow Corrupted guy that you could see. But the Shadow Corrupted guy could see, like, us, and, like, call to more of them, right? I'm assuming that everybody said everything that needed to be said, so that we were all on the same page about every single thing that happened.
Yep.
Equally confused.
I just think, like, it's not gonna help, but the Shadow Corrupted clearly has, like, a guy, like, watching that area.
I guess, yeah. We gotta go take that dude out.
But in the dream realm, so, like, how do we get another person to go with Vons into the dream realm? Or do we, and do we just, like, deal with the fact that that guy is gonna be there watching?
Well, when we land an arcs on him, he'll be, I mean, problem solved.
No? Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I feel like this is just, like, we're only a couple of weeks away from, like, just doing the landing itself. So, like, I don't know. Should we try and figure out how to, like, deal with that guy?
Well, here's what I'm wondering. Like, if he's watching the area and we just showed up, like, are they going to be on extra guard now? Are they going to have a lot of people there?
And if we don't deal with him, what are we landing the arcs into?
But on the other hand, if we do deal with him, does that make it extra clear that we're coming there?
Yeah.
Could just land it on him and...
We could just, like, land it.
Yeah.
But also, like, what if it's, like, Vons? He's only there when Vons is there? So, like, maybe we should help Vons, like, just, you know, knock himself out and not go to sleep normal. I mean, Vons really likes to, like, get knocked out and not sleep normal. So, like, what if we just, like, let him do what he's going to do this time?
That's, yeah.
No, he's an adult. He's an adult.
Is he? God.
Yes. Jesse is a very firm believer in let people do whatever stupid shit they're going to do, for the most part. Especially if they understand the consequences of what they're doing.
I'm not entirely convinced he does understand the consequences of his particular behaviors. But yeah, of course Vons is fine with this, whatever.
It was good to get this information, and I think that ultimately the information is not as useful as we had hoped that it would be. And, like, that's okay, maybe? So I think we should just do what we can that we've already planned.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And stop trying to, like, futz around with whatever the fuck is going on with the dream situation.
Maybe.
Unless someone can think of something that would, like, be a way for other people to go into the dream with Vons. That's the only other thing that I can think of.
I am going to point out real quick here that you guys do have access to the brain trust of the Jinkies and other folks that are here. I'm just not having them jump in unless you ask.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I guess that was sort of addressed to the entire group. Can anyone think of anything that we could do to, like, you know, actually do something? Like, actually take other people along with Vons' dreams?
Not really. There's some magic that kind of lets you do that, but it's all real powerful and I don't have it. And we got to learn about runes and shit. I don't know.
Rune, name coincidental.
Is it like 6 years of a therapy degree?
I can probably gin up something custom for this if we need it.
Do we have like a psychic or something on the arcs? We have to, right?
Well, I was going to ask, how many times have you knocked yourself unconscious with various chemicals and unhealthy ways?
I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't even know how time works in this place.
At least once every couple of weeks.
Yeah, at least.
Not even stuff that's on the show, just, you know, in the background, he's just doing shit and
yeah, you don't see Vons for a while, probably.
Almost every day, and rarely he falls asleep on his own, is what I believe is canonical.
Oh god, that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh shit, he's sleeping the same way Tyler Durden sleeps. Just
yes.
Then he wakes up in another town or another part of the arcs anyway, and smells of a different batch of chemicals.
Just writes it off and walks home.
At some point, some group of people are going to approach him and treat him like some kind of a cult leader. You'll have no idea how they developed.
You know, the fact that there's not a cult following Vons is a little weird, I'm going to be honest.
Why?
I don't know. I could just see the kind of isolation and like tight-knitness of the arcs really lending itself to like fringe religious developments.
But I mean, Vons hasn't told anyone but us about what's going on with his.
No, I just mean his general lifestyle of living in a hole and brewing shit and noxious chemicals and eating bugs. I don't know. I could just see Vons like,
if he would tell anyone what he was doing, I think that would probably be true, but he doesn't tell people what's going on with him. So how would a cult follow? He would actively attempt to get away from anyone who followed him.
It just makes him more mysterious. You have to earn entry into his inner circle. Clearly, he must have great knowledge.
Exactly. The exclusivity of it.
Okay.
You'll learn the meaning of life if you follow this weird fox guy around and mimic his behavior.
I feel like that happened a lot in the 60s.
Yeah, and also like in the early mystery religions around when Christianity was forming. There was a lot of that. Hey, there's this weird guy who's probably crazy out in the desert. We should follow that.
Yeah, I've got nothing better to do. Yeah.
Yeah, of course you should squat on a pole. Why not?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay, so if you're hurting your brain that much that people would say follow you into a desert or something, there are several nosebleeds. Well, it's a long shot, but given that you seem to be attuned to a dream world that no one else is really getting into, there are mysterious powers of the mind that everyone stopped trying to reproduce because it involved massive brain damage in exact, very certain ways.
And if he acquired brain damage, how would we know?
If he was noticing brain damage, he would have altered his means of doing something and started seeing, I don't know, some other resource. But that requires one noticing that they're being brain damaged. So,
I'm just saying, it used to be it's kind of a fringe thing. It was almost as dangerous to the, you know, user as it was to the target, but like mental powers or whatever. You could do them with dangerous
surgeries. Are you saying I've got psychic powers? Or, ooh, can I light fires with my mind?
I mean,
I've seen people do it.
Well, okay, you can do it with magic. I'm just saying that maybe you tapped into some of those abilities on accident, and that's why you're getting this whole dream world thing going on.
But didn't the weird dream world happen first, and that's why he started refusing to sleep?
How long have you been mixing chemicals in dangerous combinations in poorly ventilated labs?
A decade,
at least. Fair point. A bunch. I don't know.
And it could just be that you're more naturally attuned to this weird dream world thing. But, or maybe something happened along the way. But either way, you seem to have an ability to tap into it that none of the rest of us do. Because your dreams are sitting just on top of reality in a very strange way.
You can sit on reality?
Well, you can.
Huh.
So, you brought a knife back, that's weird. I guess we don't have a good way to physically check if it's still there. Well, we could. It would be risky.
I mean, is it supposed to be magic or something, maybe?
The knife?
Yeah, I don't know.
Rune casts a spell immediately to detect magic. It's very, very, very weak magic. But technically, yes.
Huh. But it's here. Like, it's really here.
Yes.
Right? I wonder if the sand that was on my feet that one time, or pockets, or wherever it was, or no, it was lichen. I wonder if that was magic.
Well, Jesse had brought that down.
Hmm. Try this.
That is not magic.
See, that's weird. Okay, so the knife, weak magic. The lichen, just goo by now.
I mean, we can try to figure out what the knife does, if you think that's relevant.
What the magic does?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. We should do that.
Okay, see, you went pearl diving like 5 years ago, right? Yes. Okay, we can get those from storage. One 100 GP pearl later, we cast Identify. Oh, that's cool. Here, Vons, hold this.
Okay.
He holds
it as if it might electrocute him, yeah.
Also, it has Elvish on it, which is cool. but here. Rune grabs a couple sticks and puts them on the stone floor. Hold the emerald just above it.
Uh-huh.
And say, I don't know why anyone would choose this. It's the Elvish phrase for snooty jerk.
Interesting. Huh.
Okay.
And when you say that, a small shower of sparks comes out of the bottom of the knife. And the little twigs and stuff start to catch fire.
Ah. The phrase snooty jerk must mean something awesome in Elvish.
It really doesn't. Well, it means what it says. But yeah, there's also some old Elvish written on the side. It's kind of in weird slang, though.
I read Elvish.
I think I read Elvish. Like all of us. I think literally all of us read Elvish.
No.
I don't think Vons does.
Okay.
Almost all
of us read Elvish.
So right. Yeah, the whole time he's been looking at this knife, he's just seeing squirrely little decorative marks.
Wait, I read Elven. Is that different than Elvish?
It's the same.
Quinarin. Right. And...
Should we do...
Yeah, Grix and Weltraw make intelligence checks.
24.
21.
24 and 21. That's prime for both of you. Okay, so you quickly realize a couple things. One, there's a name on here. But it's been written. Basically, you two know, because you have been educated enough in very specific stuff, that there was kind of a weird pseudo-dialect of Elvish that evolved among various military groups. It's like, it's all minor stuff, but you realize that someone's essentially swapped some words around, so it's a little harder to read all of this. But you puzzle it back out, and you get what appears to be a very, very short note that says, F, comma, don't forget about us little people. And then appears to be signed to A.
And they say this out loud?
Oh my god.
I don't know who A is. F, Frymeath?
Frymeath and Aramith.
Oh.
Aramith. Aristique.
But
I mean,
so she'd be a little
hard
people?
To say if it would be Aristique. Why would she be saying, don't forget about us little people?
Oh god, she could have been so different back then.
Maybe.
Oh, no, she's not, because we met that one guy in the Narrows who was
right.
Like,
right.
No,
she was a horrible person.
Frymeath was kind of okay, but she was always a bitch.
That's true. Okay, it's not Aristique.
So you're saying that there's little people running around somewhere,
uh-huh.
And this knife is for killing them?
Uh-huh. Look out for them. It's a warning.
And they're... Are they too small to be seen, or like how small are the little people?
Ian?
Vaughn's just looking around with concern.
I can't remember if Grix or Wealthy got the hire.
I did, Grix 24. Did.
Grix, you know that this definition of little people tends to denote things like the quote-unquote peasantry, the underclasses. That said, the Lilliputians could be the end boss of this campaign. We just don't know yet.
Oh, man.
I don't want that.
I don't either, so you're probably good.
Yeah, I don't really care for swarm battles.
So does everyone think that it means that it was for Frymeath?
Probably. I mean, how many Fs do we know from back then?
I mean, I don't know. Everything seems to have to do with Frymeath, and
yeah.
I'm not opposed. I do think that Jesse would be like, hey, we should take that to Frymeath and ask him, like, what's up with it?
Sure.
Like, did he forget about the little people? I mean, like, I feel like he forgot
I think he's re-remembered the little people.
I think he's re-remembered the little people, but, like, maybe we could make him feel a little bit bad about it.
Yeah. Why don't we just stab it in his door and then leave?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Ding dong dash.
Exactly.
A
dagger in the door.
A dagger in the door.
Yeah.
No, I like him better than that. He's been, you know, better. So I don't want to do that to him.
Just a practical joke. It's one of our patented goofs.
Sure.
Cool. Also, this is my knife now, so if I'm gonna get it stuck in a door, it'll be my door. Dang it. I almost died for this thing.
Maybe we could ask, I don't know. This seems like both a side quest and also like a thing that I genuinely want to know. So like, fuck you, Ian. Why do you keep making the campaign longer?
You want a meta hint?
A hint as to why Ian keeps making the campaign longer?
Not about that part, about the knife and what role it would play.
I don't know anymore.
I would recommend going to see Frymeath. That is what I will say.
Okay,
let's
cool.
Let's go see Frymeath.
Let's go see Frymeath. We go back to the Arcs and we see Frymeath. Hey, Frymeath. So we found this thing in Vons's dream and he brought it back.
Yeah, check out this knife. You can't have it.
Jesse, make a wisdom check to read a certain horrible old man.
Yay! I love to read a certain horrible old man. I haven't done anything. I haven't done any rolls this episode yet. It's a 21 on a prime.
Frymeath is pretty good at keeping his emotions under lock and key most of the time, but he seems genuinely shocked to see this knife and definitely recognizes it.
Who's A?
Alandra, a friend of mine from, well, before everything. Where did you find this?
Don't worry about it.
No, man. Nah, man, you gotta actually tell us,
Well, it's still mine now, right? So, yeah. Found it. Found it in this, Ian, correct me if I'm wrong, you found it in the chest in the, one of the little...
Yeah, in like a hillside cave.
Yeah. One of the, cavey remnants of the Ark's hole. Yeah, there. Oh, that's where I found it.
To answer your question before Vons gave me the information I wanted anyway... Landra was a friend of mine from military service before I married Aristique and got made an officer, and it all got very messy from there. Well, from before I was an officer, and then the marriage with Aristique kind of a...
Is that a thing that happens in that culture, that marriage turns you into an officer?
No, it was more that I was an entry-level officer, essentially being honor guard at a fancy party, and that's where I met Aristique, and... Things were strange from there in total.
And she was like, I need to hit that and then also be an asshole forever.
Yes, although the latter was less obvious at the time.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to know what someone's going to be like long term.
Yeah. But yeah, Alandra was a scout ranger, I suppose, and gave me this as a wedding gift.
Did we encounter her name before?
No.
Okay. I mean, the form of the name sounds really familiar, but only,
yeah.
But only the form of the name.
So this is not intended to be a name you have encountered before.
Okay. Because it's tripping all the same things as like Alara and...
Yeah.
It's that style of... Yeah. Yeah. That's probably... Yeah.
Elf names, okay. Man. I mean, I don't mean to be racist here.
Elf names, man.
Yeah.
Elf names. Man. They all sound so similar to me.
Yeah. Mystical and shit.
Foxfolk names have a pattern too, but it's never come up.
Yeah, because it's quaint and homely.
Did she die, your friend?
I don't know, is the thing.
Oh, crazy.
She was one of the last scouting groups that was out trying to get a lay of the land before we took off, and they did not make it back, but given the sheer number of corrupted who converged on the position, they might have retreated.
We should ask Shad. Shad was a scout. We got Shad's name, but I don't have access to it right now.
Yeah, no, that's not why. I couldn't remember that Shad was a scout, so I didn't remember why you were suggesting Shad. So, guide now. I'm on board. Sure.
Are we allowed to take Frymeath down to the Jenkies? Did they say that that's okay? I don't remember.
I think it's fine. I think they trust your judgment.
Okay. Let's take Frymeath down to the Jenkies and see if Frymeath knows the former corrupted, formerly known as Shad, whose name I can't remember now.
Sounds like a plan.
Sorry. You're being like, do I have Shad's name? It's somewhere. But lots of things are somewhere. All right. Well, you head back down to see Shad. And you go and you find him. Find them. There was a... I imagine that Shad's confines have been loosened significantly at this point.
Well, yeah, it has been several months.
Exactly. So it probably has areas that they're restricted to, but, you know, has access to pretty much everything. Isn't allowed to go outside, but that's almost everyone, so that's not unusual on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So we just bump into him at the bar from time to time, and he's like, hey.
I was going to say the Jenkies Lab doesn't have a bar, but honestly, with multiple people and a lot of free time, they might have built a small bar.
I found it. Shad's name was Suyal, and they were scout in Nylandril.
And if we gave him legal representation, he just might.
They, but yes.
Mm.
Thank you. All right. Take Frymeath and Shad. They look at each other. Jesse, make a wisdom check.
Yay!
Anyone else who feels like reading a terrible old man and some guy, make a wisdom check.
I don't have any wisdom. I'm not going to bother.
That's a 21... Yeah, or sorry, that's a 25 on a prime.
Natural one. Nothing.
All right. Rix?
Yeah.
You said you got a natural one?
Yes.
These people are clearly mortal enemies. Jesse?
Yeah.
These people clearly know each other. And you've manufactured a situation where I have to talk to myself. Rude. So Frymeath just goes, Suyal? And Suyal goes, Frymeath? And they both look very surprised at each other being, you know, alive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no emotional, you know, hugging or anything like that.
I'm trying to figure, I don't think Frymeath's much of a hugger. I guess I should figure out if Suyal is.
No.
I mean, he's an old man who's getting used to his emotions again. Maybe this is a breakthrough.
Suyal's a hugger.
Suyal's a hugger.
So Suyal hugs Frymeath, and Frymeath is doing the arms at side, very stiff, what is happening? Kind of reply to a hug, but Jesse, you see with your wisdom score that he relaxes into it after a second. So they do know each other.
Cool. Were they in the same... was Suyal in the same squad as Alondra?
Suyal looks over and says, yes, actually. Although, at the time, I went down a little bit before the arcs took off, so I couldn't tell you for sure how she's doing or if she made it back.
And you don't know, like, any... Like, you don't know if, like, she... Like, you didn't feel her, like, in the corruption specifically or anything?
No.
I mean, like, at one point you said, like, you, like, had like, other corrupted you were, like, closer to or whatever. So I'm just, like, wondering if she was one of them.
Now that you mention it, out of those, I don't remember feeling her, no. And presumably I would have. We were very close. So, I suppose there's a good chance she's not corrupted, although it's been centuries.
Huh.
Well.
And Frymeath, I think, turns to Vons and says, so you said you found it in a hillside cave.
Yeah, and it's mine.
Yes, I'm very aware.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? And Vons, make an intelligence check.
Yeah.
Add a d6 because you oriented yourself incredibly well. The first time when you were trying to figure out like the direction of the arcs and stuff, so.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oops. Well, I'm gonna need it, because that was a natural one. Okay. Should I still bother? The D6?
Probably not.
I got a 6 on that.
He does that, like, almost incomprehensible just blather that he does sometimes, where he's like, well, the sun was doing this.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not
clear. He's using his, like, hands and making shadow puppets to try to explain it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's not clear which of the tunnels we use as an escape route that one would be. But I did lose this right around the time of the launch, and it was dropped. So it ending up back in a reserve chest is very odd. It's also very odd that the reserve chests are either being maintained or haven't broken down or been found.
Which was it a dream?
Well, it's physically here.
Well, yeah, but like you also like saw physical people who were not in the dream with you. So like if there had been someone around, you would have seen them, right?
Oh. Huh.
Yes.
I don't know. That's what Jesse is assuming.
From what all of you know, the answer to that question is okay. Yes. There'd been someone immediately around. But that you found those indicates that our escape tunnels are still open. And, well, we'd have to land the arcs exactly right, but we could presumably get back into them. Also, Vons, your dream ability would be extremely useful for scouting right before we land. But the tunnels may give us a way to get behind any army they decide to set up to throw at us.
Yeah, but can I at least, like, turn invisible or something in the dream? Or, I don't know, not be in life-threatening positions constantly? Because they can definitely see me, and they just, like, keep following you. It doesn't feel great, dude.
Well, do you want to be afraid and not help, or do something you're afraid of, then? Help everyone survive this.
Oh, shut up. Jeez.
Called out.
It's always this argument.
It has become increasingly relevant.
I mean, Frymeath, in
stupid art.
In his defense, Frymeath has been thinking about that specific philosophical issue the entire time that we have known him as a person. Part of why I love him so much, because he sucks, and yet he is thinking so hard about this exact issue.
Fine. Dick.
Jesse nods vigorously. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Vons, right. Why don't you go ahead and, like, go to the dream ground place and be all naked and shit and chased by spooky, smoky guy.
Sure, like, you're chased by them, but, like, you haven't, actually, like, have you fought the actual, like, shadow guy that is in the dream with you, though?
Would you?
I mean, yes, I would.
Yes, Jesse would 100% do that.
I would 1000% have already, like, aggressively tried to fight that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with, like...
I'm gonna say... Nothing? Jesse... Yeah, with nothing. Yeah. Jesse would rather... Jesse would rather bare-knuckle box a fucking shadow corrupted in her dream than almost anything else, actually. God, that sounds amazing.
Jesse would just beat the thing up and German suplexed it into the ground.
Yeah.
Man, warrior types.
I know, I love her.
Yeah, Vons is very appreciative that she's there. He just doesn't understand that way of thinking.
I mean, like, I don't know, maybe Rune can figure out a way for me to go with you, and I can help you, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's have Jesse have the dreams. Yeah.
Oh, man, then Jesse, like, gets this look on her face, like, oh, no, then I would be in, like, a, like, some sort of mental, thing with the Shadow Corrupted, and I don't want that.
And it's potentially Vaughn's dreamscape, so, there's also that to contend with.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe what we're saying is we just have to get Jesse to pass out from ether over and over again until she can dream about being on the ground.
I'm already working on a spell. You hear from the other room.
Nope, what? It's the ether training. Now you got to do the ether training.
You got to do the ether.
Does this smell like chloroform to you?
Maybe kindness could, like, you know, come and help me somehow with the training. She's an alchemist. Maybe she could come up with something.
I mean, I was just going to modify Read Thoughts.
Cool, awesome. That sounds great.
It seems easier than precise brain damage.
Maybe Vons could practice, like, if he can take stuff back from the dreams, maybe he could practice, like, taking stuff with him into the dream.
It's not damage, it's enhancement.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. That doesn't seem likely.
But I mean, like, if he can think real hard about what he is holding while he's falling asleep, maybe he could take it with him, and it could be a both ways thing.
You could try that. I'm betting that that's just not going to work based on how the other, like, transference stuff. Anyway, we could try it. Certainly try it.
I think he should try it, and then he can have equipment in his dream.
I mean, yeah, alright, I guess.
I mean, it'd be good if you could, you know, defend yourself.
You're not wrong.
Now that the dagger is here.
C&C, where death waits around every corner.
Alright, let's hold off the landing. We all gotta sleep a lot.
Okay, great.
Let's explain that to the leadership of the city. Hang on, yes. We all just need to take a lot of naps.
They're working out.
They're work naps. It'll make us safer.
Okay, so you all want to try to go and murderate that corrupted, it sounds like the plan is?
I mean, not specifically. I mean, like, Jesse just wants to be able to, like, go with Vons to, like, protect him in his dream.
I think there's also a discovering how we're going to land component and not get swarmed immediately.
But we also have to do the drills for, like, preparing people in that stuff. So,
oh, yeah, we gotta do that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if we could figure out a way to not get swarmed, but I think that the plan is that we should just be ready for that to get swarmed.
It's,
like, I just feel like we can only, like, change the behavior of the Shadow Corrupted so much. And I'm saying this in my capacity as the expert on the Shadow Corrupted, Jesse, there's only so much you can do to, like, you know, change the behavior of those guys. They're going to do what they're going to do, and it's going to be real fucked up. So,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Might be useful to have an idea of, like, troop strength composition and where they're located, but that would be much closer to the landing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Rune says, the spell's going to take a while, though, so if you guys got, you know, drills to run, day job stuff to do.
Great.
Yep.
We
do have drills to run. Let's run drills next time.
Yes. So we'll wrap there. And all those people that were waiting for drills, you're almost there. It's next episode. Be hyped.
Next time on Primary Attribute, drills.
Yeah. All right. Good episode, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yay.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter, @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our dankest, blazest posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.